Okay, but let's learn today a few machashavos, a few ideas relating to Yom Tov, to Rosh Hashanah. Some raw ideas I want to throw out. Maybe you can develop them on your own and you can help me understand the deeper meaning of some of these things. So the first thing which caught my attention, a lot of these things are very short. I want to throw out some ideas. First thing which caught my attention is something that appears in the halachic sefer, the Shari Ephraim. The Mati Ephraim is a tremendous chiddush. La halacha. We know that on Shabbos we don't make private requests. You're not mispal for yourself on Shabbos. On Shmoneh Esrei, in the nusach of the Shmoneh Esrei, you don't say Chaneinu Meitcha Chochma Bina V'Haskel. You don't say all the Shema Kaleinu. We don't make private requests. Even when it comes to a choile, we're very delicate. You make a mishrech for a choile, it's not the right thing to do to be mevakesh from Hashem for a choile on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we apologize. How do we apologize? After making the labrit mishaberach, Shabbos he milizik. Shabbos is the day when we hold back from crying out. So we're gonna soften our request. We ask Hashem yivorech v'yirapei esachayli, but Rebbeinu Shalom, we're gonna hold back. We're not gonna have a say to Hillim. We're not gonna go to town. Shabbos he milizik. On Yom Tov also, Yom Tov he milizik. Yom Tov is the day that we're going to hold back. We're going to refrain from going all out and asking Hashem for a refuah, because it's not the proper thing to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
What that means?
To cry out. Lizek means
to cry out.
Shabbos he milizik. On Shabbos we withhold. We hold back from crying out. Do not cry out. Even though we do ask a little bit, but now we don't overdo it. Now here's a shaila. When you make on every shul makes a misha berach for the cholim on Yom Tov, right? Where I daven, I already see there's a big sign. Everyone should write their name, any name that you want, now or never. You can't come up on Yom Tov to add a name for the cholim. If you want to have a name for a cholim, you want to be recited on Yom Tov, you have to fill out the name right now, and the gabbai is going to go through all the names very quickly. B'shas kriyas ha'tor. Okay, when the gabbai makes the misha berach, how does he make the mishberach on Rosh Hashanah? So you'll tell, Rosh Hashanah, it's Rosh Hashanah. So you have to say Yom Tov he melizek. What would happen if it would be Yom Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, which is not this year? So l'chor you would say Yom Tov v'Shabbos he melizek. Yeah. The Mate Ephraim says not on Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. On Rosh Hashanah, soif kol soif, it's a Yom Hadin, and therefore it doesn't follow the rules of your typical Yom Tov or your typical Shabbos. Really, on Shabbos there's no reason why you can't be mispalel. You can be mispalel. It's a minug. The minug is, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. It's not in the spirit of Yom Tov to make personal requests. But there's nothing really wrong. There's nothing technically wrong with doing so. When it's Rosh Hashanah, even though it's a festive day, it's a Yom Tov, right? It's a Yom Tov. But in Rosh Hashanah, we don't make personal requests, but Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin. And that changes the nature, the dynamics of Yom Tov. And if when you make the Mishaberach on Rosh Hashanah, the Matan Chaim says, make it the regular way. Mishaberach, Havaseinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, so-and-so, Yirabi, Yivarech, Zachol, so-and-so, B'soch Shechol, Yishol, Bavur, Shatzibur, Mispalim, Bavuram, or Bavur, Shamishpacha, you will give Yitain, Stoka, Bavur, whatever you want to say, you give Stoka, you're going to be Mispalel. Because Soif called Soif, it is the Yom Hadin. So they have a Soif called Shira started by one of the Saraskins. He says, based upon this Mati Ephraim, he says a tremendous Chiddush LaHalacha. If you look at the Nuscha Tfilah on Rosh Hashanah, there are no personal requests. A lot of the Balei Musar, you hear this all, you read about the specific Musar, they say this over and over again. What are you supposed to daven for on Rosh Hashanah? You're not davening for yourself. You're supposed to daven for Hashem. That it's a tragedy. The world doesn't appreciate the greatness of Hashem. The Shechina is golos. Hashem is not appreciated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in pain, Kaviyachol. The Shechina is in tzar. And if you look at the Nusach HaTfilah, but if you read it very carefully, everything is focused on, we are praying not for us, we're praying L'mancha, for your sake, Hashem, for you. You, Hashem, may your name be recognized over throughout the entire world. There's Malchios, there's Zechronos, and there's Shofos. It's not about us, but you, Hashem. Shiras David says, you know, that's a very nice thing, and it's true. If you're in a very high madrega, that's what you should do. But the average man, it's Yom Hadin. And the Yom Hadin, every person has needs. You have needs for yourself, for your family, personal needs. And therefore, even though the Nusach HaTfilah is not geared for the individual, there is no harm and there's nothing wrong if you can sneak in every here and there in the Nusach HaTfilah, in words and things which you feel trigger something in your heart, machshavos, prayers for yourself. And the proof is the Matei Ephraim. The Matei Ephraim says it's Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're supposed to say Shabbos Simul Yom Tov Himalizai. But now when it comes to the Chayla, it's Yom Hadin. Therefore, you should say the regular Nusach. So too, he says, when it comes to your private needs, there's no harm in being mispalel for yourself, your family members, people that you know, private requests within the framework of being mispalel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a balance. There's a balance what it says in this Musar Svarim and what you need to do to be practical and realistic in your own personal life. That's one idea. What?
Is it tshuva personal?
Well, we're not at the Seher Shemei Tshuva. We're up to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not.
It's the first day.
It's the first day, but it's not. There's no al chait. We don't say slichos. No. We don't say chait. It's just it's a festive nusach. The nusach is nice, pleasant things. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So it's not ideal. It's not ideal, but it can be done. You don't do betzibur. If you have a choice of saying Tilef Rechoyel on Shabbos or during the weekday, you better have your group during the weekday. Public, saying Tilef in public is definitely not the right thing to do. Privately, private for Rechoyel, okay, you can do it. Okay, because there's no choice. They can't come together any other time.
Better, absolutely.
Especially public. Especially public. There's another thing, though, that's very public. If you're not saying it for a chol, you're saying tilim stam, to say tilim, or you're saying it for lezeich nishmas and neshama, someone who died. The Sfardim, they have a big thing. They on the week of the yard site, a week before the yard site, the family comes together and they read the entire tehillim. So they're not saying it for a chol, they're saying tilim for a neshama. That's a different idea. But if you're saying tilim for a chol, there are different levels. If it's an emergency, like a real serious tzar for the tzibur, then you are allowed to say Tehillim publicly for a chayla. That's done. Emergency, you ever go, whatever, even once Shabbos. In a while, even Shabbos. There's an emergency surgery. Someone is taken away by Hatzalah. Yeah. Emergency surgery, you're allowed to say Tehillim publicly on Shabbos. If it's not an emergency mamish, it's not the right thing to do it publicly. The next best thing is people should say Tehillim privately. But even saying it privately, that's not the proper thing to do on Shabbos. It's a nice thing to say Tehillim. You should say Tehillim. Say Tehillim. To say, give shiros v'shvachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to say Tehillim for Chol, that's not the proper thing. I want to move along to another idea. Let's go to another quick idea. All right, we have over here on Rosh Hashanah. Now, this is very good for the people in this room. People in this room that are sitting here have a chashivas of limud HaTorah, learning Torah. You come here every day, you spend almost 2 hours, you devote 2 hours a day. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do, to devote yourself to learn Torah. On Rosh Hashanah, we say slichos. The main part of slichos are the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Sarachim. That is the when you say Hashem, Hashem, Kilrachim, Mechaner, Chapayim, the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Sarachim, that's what it's all about. All of these things, Ashrei and Kaddish, L'chashem Atztaka, and the Pizmoinim and the Piyutim, that's all, you know, introductory and
dressing
for the Iker part of Slichos is to say with Kavana, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Mechan, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesav Yemes, Noitze Chesel, La'alofim, Noitze Om, Mefeshav, Echatov, and Akeh. That's the Iker part of Slichos, to say that with Kavana.
You need a minion.
On Rosh Hashanah, guess what? You don't say Slichos. It's a festive day. There is no Yud Gimel Midos Harachmin. It's one exception. When is the only time you say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachmin? When you take out the Sefer Torah. Why? Because when you take out the Sefer Torah, the Chazivos, when you cherish the Torah and you open up the Aron to take out the Sefer Torah, Ahava V'Kalkel Hashur. The love of the Sefer Torah is so powerful, it breaks all the barriers and it opens up for you an opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamin, even in a time when ordinarily you couldn't do so. Rosh Hashanah really would be a great day, you know, that everything, it's a great time to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the, these are, it's like, you know, the ultimate weapon. You don't take out this weapon on Rosh Hashanah because it's a Yom Tov. It's not, but you would really like to do so, especially now it's Yom Hadin, you're chalashing, you're desperate for some secret solution. When you attach yourself to the Torah, then you have a different set of rules. And certainly that is something that was very apropos for people who devote the whole year to learning Torah. They're on a different level. They're on a level where they have the midos of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim accompanying them through din, where otherwise they would not be able to accomplish things that otherwise they would not be able to accomplish. That's something to keep in mind when they take out the Sefer Torah. They take out the Sefer Torah on Rosh Hashanah. Now's your chance. Now's your one chance during the day to really do something that we really should be doing, but we can't because of the nature of the Yom Tov. Okay, let's go to another idea. I saw in a Sefer, very, very interesting idea, that if you look at the Nusach HaTefillah, there's a very big difference between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and the Shalosh Regalim. The Shalosh Regalim are called times, Zemanim. And the Nusach HaTefillah would say that Pesach is Zman Cheruseinu. Shavuos is Zman Matan Toroseinu. Sukkos is Zman Simchoseinu. Rosh Hashanah is not called a Zman. It's called a Yoim. Yoim Hazikaroin. Yoim HaKippurim. It's called a day. So my question to you is, what is the difference between the term Zman and the term Yom? It's very hard to define. I don't have a very good answer, but it's something to think about. After thinking about it for a while, perhaps one approach to understand the difference is, when you deal with the concept called Yom, you enter into a new vocabulary, a whole lexicon. Yom is associated with the concept Mochor, tomorrow. That's the day which comes tomorrow. And in the vocabulary of Yom, there's a word Esmol, yesterday. In the vocabulary of Zman, there's no such thing as what comes after and what comes before. You're now in a tekufa. Wonderful. I'm now in a period of my life of simcha. I'm now in a tekufa of zman matan tarusein. I'm in a tekufa of zman cheruseinu. You don't relate to it what was before and what is after. That's not part of the vocabulary. That's not part of its meaning. But a day is not to be viewed in isolation. The essence of a day is to be viewed relative to what was before and what comes to later. That's the day. A yom is relative to esmol and what is mocha. What does that tell us about Rosh Hashanah? The essence of Rosh Hashanah is a transition point between the past and the future. We come to Rosh Hashanah, come to other Moad, okay, it's a time. And the focus of Rosh Hashanah is not just, okay, here I am, it's a Yom Hadin, I'm going to give Din V'Cheshvint before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what you do. When you come to Rosh Hashanah, what you're doing is, you're looking back at the past year, I'm looking back at the past years, in fact, what did I accomplish, what I had not accomplished, and what are my goals for the future? And here I stand at this transition point and try to make sense of the past and the future. It's a whole different hashkafa. When you look at Rosh Hashanah in that way, you know, it changes the nature of how you look at Rosh Hashanah relative to the way you look at the other Moadim. When you come to Rosh Hashanah, you come to Sukkot. You don't look at Sukkot as how, now I'm at Sukkot, it's a Zman of Simcha, and I'm going to do certain things. You don't look at Sukkot relative to where before Sukkot, how was my life before Sukkot, and what's going to be when Yom Tov is over, right? What's going to be when Shmini Atzeres and I go back to you? That's not the way you look at Sukkot. That's not the way you look at other things in your life in general. But the avoda of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is to look at the big picture. What did you accomplish or not accomplish in the past, and how is that going to affect you, your Kabbalah, and your trajectory, what your plans are going to be for the future. It's Hayoyim. Hayoyim brings with it an esmol and a mocha that is unique to the concept of Yom. You don't have that by Isma. Now, just to illustrate this, not that it's really adding any more to it, but this is really caught my attention. We have the 10 reasons why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There are 10 reasons. Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon is famous for the 10 reasons why we blow shofar. If you look at the 10 reasons, and I'm quoting you from something called Haras Melech, he explains, from those 10 reasons, 4 relate to the past, 4 relate to the future, and 3 are the present. So it's very interesting. There's a very interesting balance. Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, is the mitzvah hayom. What is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is mitzvah hayom. The blowing of the shofar itself captures the essence of Yom. Because you blow a shofar for 10 reasons. And those 10 reasons, 3 are now, 4 are the past, and 4 are the future. Rather than very quickly, what are the four of the past? The first one is Avsad Yigon, Har Sinai. When you blow shofar, it's a reminder of Matan Torah. Right, kol gadol v'lo yosef. That's the past, right? Manto is the past. Number two, another reason of the Sagon is to remind you of the words of the Nevi'im. You're supposed to remember that once upon a time there were prophets. It's you have to look at Rav Sadia Gaon, but it's a reminder of the words of the prophets. This was the past. The prophets are compared to a shofar. There's a pasuk that compares the prophets to a shofar. When we blow the shofar, we are reminded of what the prophets told us in the past. Number three, they remember the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Churban Beis Hamikdash, because when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it was destroyed by an enemy. When the enemies marched against Klal Yisrael, they marched by blowing a shofar. The enemy, the armies come with trumpets and shofar. So Rav Sadia Gaon says. So it's a reminder of the Churban that took place in the past. And number four is Akedah. The Akedah, right? You blow the shofar, that's Pashat. Reminds us the Akedah, the Elish Shel Yitzchak. After Avram took down Yitzchak from the Akedah, he replaced him with an ayil, and the ayil had a horn, and that horn, we blow the shofar, we remind of the ayil, the horn of the ayil. You're supposed to use ideally a shofar shel ayil. We don't do that, but that's what you're supposed to do ideally. And therefore it's a reminder of the Akedah. So it comes out that so far, 4 reasons why we blow the shofar from Rav Sadia Gaon relate to the past. Matan Torah, the Akedah, the Nevi'im, and the armies who came against us with their loud sounds who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what about the present? What about the present? So 3 reasons is, number one, the present. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. You coronate a king, it's accompanied with the sound of a shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, we declare Hashem as Melech. Present. That's what we're doing right now. Number two, do tshuva. It's a wake-up call to do tshuva right now. And number three, it's fighting. It's a wake-up. It evokes fear. The sound of a shofar is a very strong sound which gets a person, it's unsettling. It makes a person afraid. And we want to acquire some degree of Yirah Shemayim or Rosh Hashanah. That's why we blow shofar. 3 reasons all relate to the present. All relate to the present. Makabos Malchus Shemayim, do tshuva, and put in your heart a little bit of fear. What about the future? 4 reasons. The Yoim Hadin HaGodol. It's a reminder that when everything is said and done, Achameh V'Eshrim, in the next world is going to be Yoyim Hadin HaGadol. It's a reminder of what's going to be in the future. Next thing is to remind us of the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach. Number three, Techias HaMesim is going to be accompanied by a Tekia. And number four, it's something which, I don't really get this. It's Mashrish Emuna Beliboys B'nei Yisrael Shein Dov Kotel Godol B'olam Shasta B'li Hashkachosoy. And it represents the concept of emuna. You have to look at the Rav Sadia Gaon. I don't really fully grasp how this refers to the future, but he's explaining that it's an expression of emuna that everything will come to play. I would read the words: Hashayver Mashrish Emuna Beliba Yisnei Yisrael Shein Davar Katan Oygadol BeOlam Shenase Bilti Hashkachos Yisparach VeZehu SheYachazenu BeYadoi VeYir Mikan SheBechol Zman SheOisa Pula Pula BeYadoi YIr Mikan SheKloi Koichi VeOitzim Yadi Osli Yasachay LaZe Ela Meis Hashem HaYisa Zos. So I'm not clear, but it refers to the idea that everything will be revealed in the future. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an expression of emuna which has yet to play out in the future. Yeah, the last point, I'm a little bit vague, I acknowledge.
What? There's a reason for everything that's happening. You need emuna. That happened is for a good reason.
And that reason will become revealed to us in the future. And we'll have emuna. And that emuna relates to the future. Right now we have that emuna, and we will merit in the future to see the big picture.
We're working towards
the goal of emuna. So the Rav Mesker explains what it means. This idea of emuna for the future. It's a beautiful idea. 10 reasons for the blowing of the shofar. It's balanced. 4 in the past, 4 for the future, 3 in the present. Because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are called Yimei Hadin, Yom. Yom is relative to Zeman. Zeman doesn't have a past and a future. It's just a time period. Yom has a Mochor and an Esmol. The Mela, there is something to compare one to the other. Okay, let's go to another idea. And there's something very intriguing. Shabbos is the seventh day. Well, every day, Hayom Yom Rishon, Hayom Yom Sheni. Every day is relative to the previous day. But I'm talking about in the big festivals. The festivals of the year, we have festivals called Zamanim, and festivals, yearly festivals called days. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's something very intriguing about Rosh Hashanah, relative to all of the other festivals, even Yom Kippur, that it falls out on Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh. Right? Rosh Chodesh really loses out. If it wasn't Rosh Hashanah, there would be a Rosh Chodesh Kiddush, okay? There would be a Birchas Rosh Chodesh, Tishrei, Yiyeh B'yayim, Hashlishi, but we don't say, we want to confuse the Satan. We don't say Hallel. Look at that. We lost out Chatzi Hallel. The whole Rosh Chodesh, you know, there are no donuts. In Yeshiva, we got donuts for coming on time. What? Right, they need the Eidim, but the festival of Rosh Chodesh completely disappears. What?
That's most famous.
So we do stay in the Nusach HaTzvilah, right? So this is a sugi b'sach Rosh Hashanah. There's a Tosfos, Rabbeinu Meshulam. There's a lot of Torah. I don't have all the details in front of me, but there's a question. On Rosh Chodesh, you bring a set of karbanos. An oila, a special carbon oila, and a special carbon chatas. There's a question, do you bring the carbon chatas, a chatas tzibur, right? You bring the musaf, and the musaf includes a chatas and an oila. Do you actually bring the musaf, the chatas, of Rosh Chodesh on the first, on Rosh Hashanah? So shockingly, Rabbeinu Meshulam in Simsachta in Taisis, Rosh Hashanah says you don't, because the pasuk says Milvad Oilas HaChodesh B'Chodshay. The pasuk says that being that Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh, so in the parsha of Karbanos it says don't forget, Rabbi Yisai, you know it's Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah is also the first day of the month. So Milvad the Oilas HaChodesh. Why did it have to say that altogether? Let it just say nothing. Let the Torah not remind us. Well, no. Well, Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. So in Rosh Chodesh, you have to bring all of the Musafim. The fact that it said, Milvad Oila Sachodesh, is telling us, only bring the Oila of the Musaf has different parts. There's an Oila and a Chatas. Only bring the Oila, but on Rosh Chodesh, but on Rosh Hashanah, you don't bring the Karban Chatas. It's a very big Chiddush. We do not accept that lehalacha. Lehalacha in the Beis Hamikdash on Rosh Hashanah, they brought the full set of Musafim for Rosh Chodesh. Okay, this is a discussion. Now, in the Nusach HaTfilah, we play it down. We mention it. There are different ways to mention it. There's different Nuschos. Nusach Ashtas, Nusach Svard, the different Girsos. It's mentioned, it's repeated, it's not repeated. That's a whole shtickle Torah which I didn't prepare, and yet there's a lot to be discussed. But one thing is certain. The whole essence of Rosh Chodesh is severely downplayed on Rosh Hashanah. We don't make a big deal about it. We'll bring the Kurbanos, but let's not focus on it. Today we have much bigger things to focus on. It's Yom HaDin, it's Rosh Hashanah. Now, let's understand why indeed should we downplay this concept, and why did the Torah seemingly, even if we don't pass like Rabbeinu Meshulam, Rabbeinu Meshulam does have a point, only the Oila, we don't focus too much on the Karban Chatas. Why would we want to ignore the Karban Chatas? So let's go back to Ma'aseh Bereishis. Ma'aseh Bereishis, there were Shnei HaMa'oris HaGadolim. There were two major luminaries. What were the two major luminaries? The sun and the moon. Now we have no idea what this means. Totally lost from us. But Chazal tell us, at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis, the moon gave forth its own light. The moon wasn't just a dead clump of rock orbiting around the earth. It had life. It was like the sun. And it produced light. We don't know what kind of light. It was a different type of light. But it was equal to the sun. There was a light called Shemesh, and there was a light of the Yoreach. They each produced some type of light, and they were equal. They were partners. Along comes the moon, and the moon says, Ribbono shel Olam, you know, Ein shnei melachim meshamshim bekeserech. You can't have two people in control. You can't have two people that are the CEO. There's only one chief. Only one chief executive officer. It's not going to work. So Hashem says, Ey Baze, you're complaining? You're right. You diminish yourself. Along comes the moon, says, Ribbono shel Olam, just because I suggested a good idea, I have to suffer. Let the sun diminish itself. Hashem says, you know, you have a good complaint, but I'll be mafias you. I will appease you, and I'll give you the kochavim. I'll create stars, and they'll accompany you. The moon says, that's not an appeasement. I'm not satisfied. I want more. I don't remember all the details. And at the end of the day, the Hashem says to the moon, you know something. You're right. It's a shocking Gemara. It's one of the most shocking Gemaras in the Gan Shas. You're right. I can't. I've kaviyachol. I've sinned. Again, to say these words, we don't really. Very dangerous words. What these words mean? This is apikorsis. I mean, the board is not apikorsis. But Hashem says, I've made a mistake. Kaviyachol. I told you that you should diminish yourself, and therefore what I want you to do is, in order to rectify the situation, I want Klal Yisrael, every Rosh Chodesh, to offer a Karban Chatas for me. That's what it says. That's what says the Gemara. When we bring a Chatas on Rosh Chodesh, who are we atoning for? Not for us. We are bringing an atonement offering for our Kadosh Baruch Hu in this, that he diminished the moon when it complained to Hashem, Ein Shnei Melachim Misham Shem Mekeserech. Now on the side of the Gemara there says that this Gemara is mamish, the spitz of Sisrei Kabbalah, and don't get carried away with this, because you'll never understand what this Gemara means, and if you try to understand this Gemara, you'll come and be chorus in 2 minutes. So therefore, stay away. Stay away. Stay away, but yeah, nevertheless, everyone, you tell someone to stay away from the Gemara, what does that mean? Come get me, right? It's an invitation, it's something intriguing to figure out what the Gemara means.
Hashem can sin.
What does that mean to say Hashem? We read last this coming week. Hatsur tamim pa'ala ki chol derechav mishpat kel sadik v'yashu. Hashem is einov and Hashem is perfect. There's no such thing like Kadosh Baruch Hu as a mistake. So what does this mean? Okay, it's a big mystery. I want to say a little Jewish to explain why we downplay the Korban Chatos on Rosh Hashanah. Now this is a different idea, and I don't know if this is true, but I think it's just I want to throw out this idea. What exactly is the what exactly does it mean when the moon complained to Hashem, Ein shnei melachim mishamshim mikesareh? What does that mean exactly? What does that mean? So simply it means, if you have a business, you can't have two people making the decision. It's just not going to work. It's just it's a recipe for disaster. You have a business, who makes the decision? Together we make the decision. Yeah, what happens when there's a disagreement? So what's going to happen then? Who's going to win? You're stuck. You'll go nowhere. At least you have a majority. You have three people, so you'll follow the majority. Well, how does it work? That's l'chora what the complaint the moon made. You can't have two kings wearing one crown. It just doesn't go together at the same time. That is absolutely correct. But I want to say another interpretation of what it means. We know that the moon and the sun don't operate at the same time of the day. Even when they both give off light, what does it mean in the time of creation? The sun was in charge during the day. The Zorach HaShemesh Shavo HaShemesh, the sun sets, and now the moon rises. The moon has its own light. Doesn't necessarily mean that the moon is functioning at the same time as the sun. The moon, the way we see it, at least in this world, functions after. It just means that at night it's dark. It's dark at night. But in time Ma'aseh Bereishis, at night, there was light. A different type of light. Maybe it was the same light. During the day hours, the sun gave the light. During the evening hours, the moon gave the light. Was it the same light, different light, whatever it was? It's a different time. Moshe Rabbeinu was compared to the sun. Yoshua, the next generation, was compared to the moon. And Chazal said, there's no comparison. Yoshua doesn't come anywhere near the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like we can relate to this. We say daytime, there's light, at night it's dark. There's no comparison. You can't function in the darkness. What it means is, what I want to bring out, the point I want to try to explain is, to bring out here is, the concept of the moon diminishing itself was the creation of this world, of this concept called Niskatnu Hadoiros. We live in a world where every succeeding generation is on a lower spiritual level than the preceding generation, even physical. We get weaker and weaker. The further away we go from Ma'aseh Bereishis, the further away we go from Matan Torah, we become spiritually weak. Our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they were greater. They had a greater capacity for spirituality. Even in the physical world, people will tell us that people from the previous generations, their minds, their body, they had certain things that we don't have. They had certain immunities. We have weaknesses. As time passes, the human being gets weaker and weaker. Not like the Goyim believe that we get more and more advanced. We may get more advanced on a technological basis, but physically and mentally, we are getting weaker and weaker. Is that the way what Hashem originally had in mind by Ma'aseh Bereishis? I want to suggest that was not the original plan. The moon comes after the sun. V'zorach HaShemesh u'vor HaShemesh. Then the moon rises. It was the original plan that each generation would be equal in greatness to the previous generation. There's no such thing as Niskatnu Hadoros. Along comes the moon, and the moon says, Ribbono shel Olam, if it can't be like this, it can't be where each generation is going to be exactly the same, because one generation has to gauge itself against something else. It's a healthy thing for the world to go in one direction. Either you go up or you go down. Because that way, you're always gauging, are you accomplishing, or, like the way, look at the way we have it now. The way we have it now is that we're getting weaker. Because we get weaker, that's a very great advantage, because we appreciate our predecessors. If we were equal to our predecessors, if we were on the same spiritual level as our predecessors, we wouldn't appreciate that. We're just as good as you. We're better than, well, maybe we're better, we're the same. There is a lack of appreciation. This is a very, this, the idea has to be really defined better, but when you have generations, where each generation gets weaker and weaker, it's a terrible thing for us. We're schwach, we're weak. But it's an advantage for society that we can look back and appreciate where we came from. Okay, if you, how about going the other way? Let's say we would get better, then every generation has what to look forward to. I am part of a process of making the world better because I know that my children are going to get be better than me. They're going to succeed. They're going to be higher level spirituality. But if everyone is exactly the same, it's a recipe for disaster. The son doesn't mean ein shneim lochem sham shem keser achmin at the same time. It means at different times. The keser of the moon can't be the same keser as the sun, because that means we're exactly the same. The sun has the keser, and now that keser is passed on to the moon. And then when the moon then becomes the next, ein shnei melachim mishamshim keserecha doesn't necessarily mean at the same time. It means even after different times, but if they're wearing the same crown, meaning they're on the same exact level, that is not a healthy situation. It's a much more healthy situation where there is change, either getting better or getting worse. Each one has its advantage. So Hashem says to the moon, you know, you're right. You're right, and we're going to create a world where we're going to go down. As each generation passes to the next generation, there's going to be a spiritual weakness. The further you get away from Adam HaRishon, the Yetzirah Kav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a spiritual weakness. That's a reality. The further you get away from Matan Torah, that's a reality. You can't deny it. That's a reality. And you know that's a maila in society, because we now appreciate who they were. We appreciate who our parents are. We appreciate that they're a link closer. So that is a necessary evil in this world. It's a sad thing for us that we're weak, we're weaker. Hashem says, for that, I want you to bring for me a carbon chattas. Now again, we don't know what that means, that Hashem wants a Talmud to bring a carbon chattas. Now how does it apply to Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, it's not a time to focus that we are weaker relative to our predecessors. Rosh Hashanah is the one day of the year where a person has to take pride in who he is, forget about the past. It's a new beginning. Hayoyim haras oylam, hayoyim yamid ba'mishpat kol yitzulam. Rosh Hashanah is a new beginning. You don't look back. You don't compare yourself on Rosh Hashanah relative to the past. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah is the one day of the one Rosh Chodesh of the year where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel is saying, I don't need atonement on this day. I don't need you to bring for me a Karban Chatas. Because the reason why you bring a Karban Chatas in Rosh Hashanah is because I created in this world a concept called Niskatnu Hadoros. Every generation is comparing himself to the previous generation and noticing a weakness. Rosh Hashanah is not a day when you compare yourself to the previous generation. Rosh Hashanah, the essence of Rosh Hashanah is, it's a new beginning. The world is recreated. Today, Adam HaRishon is created. Every single person has within himself a spark of Adam HaRishon. A new Adam HaRishon has been created. There's nothing to compare yourself backwards to the previous generation and say, oh, I'm a weakling, I'm the Skatnu Hadaros. That goes up against the very nature of what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Therefore, in Rosh Hashanah, it's not appropriate to focus on this concept of Niskatnu Hadaros, which led into the Karban Chatas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the moon being diminished relative to the sun. And now Hashem says, bring for me a kapara, I've created in this world this necessary evil. We downplay the entire essence of the Karban Chatas. So I think in this approach, getting a whole new idea, taking this idea of Niskatnu Hadaros, that is an invention that's rooted in the miyat of the moon, which resulted in the Karban Chatas. Rosh Hashanah is a day we don't want to focus on that. It's the godless Adam. It's a day of Slobodka. Now, there are two yeshivas, Slobodka and Nevadik. In Nevadik, you know what they used to do? They used to go into the grocery store and they would say, can I please have a piece of wood, some lumber for my house? They would say, Meshugana. We sell here food. They did it on purpose to be humiliated. It makes a roshim on your neshama. Then they go into the lumber yard and they say, can I please have some milk and cheese? Say, Meshugana. And when they scream at you, Meshugana, I feel good now. My neshama has tikkun. Then you go on a nice, beautiful, sunny day, take out an umbrella. Meshugana. When it's raining, you don't have an umbrella. Why? In order to humble yourself. That's not Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not a day of Nirvardik. The Rosh Hashanah is a day of Slobodka. Slobodka, you wore a nice, fancy suit, nice, crisp shirt. Everything was perfect. Your pants are pleated. Nice hat. Nice cigarette in your mouth. You got to look perfect. Godless Sa'adam. That is Rosh Hashanah. Hayoyim Haras Olam. It's the day of the creation of man, the greatness of man. Forget about the past. That goes against the grain of the chatos of Rosh Chodesh. The Mela, forget about it. Milvad Oilas HaChodesh. There's an Oila on this Rosh Chodesh. There is no chatos on this Rosh Chodesh. Or if you're going to bring a chatos, no, it's a technical reason to bring a chatos. But downplay it. Because focus on the godless Adam, not on the shiftless Adam. I want to wish you all Iksiva v'chasima toiva, good kibbeh shiur, a wonderful year, Yimale Hashem kol mashalas,
l'vcham l'toiva. All the chassadim that you do, all the amount.